Hey everyone, this is Jess and you're listening to the Hey Sober Vegan podcast, the show that explores the intersection of sobriety and veganism through engaging discussions with thought leaders and brands. You'll hear stories of transformation and be inspired by new perspectives. Thank you for being part of our supportive community. We hope we can help you to discover how you can lead a more mindful life. I am super appreciative to you for taking the time out of your day to listen to our podcast. Wherever that may be, whether you are driving, cleaning the house, walking your dog, or maybe you're even getting active. Please don't forget to hit subscribe on your podcast player so that you never miss an episode. And hopefully you have enjoyed the podcast thus far. Please leave a rating and a review on iTunes as it really helps to spread the positivity even further. The one thing that I'll never stop talking about in my sobriety journey, but what has absolutely revolutionized the way that we socialize, is non-alcoholic drinks. There is one brand in particular that I've been a massive fan of for the last year or so since they launched. Founded by a powerhouse couple from the sandy beaches of Bondi, who saw a gap in the market for a tasty, fancy, but also healthy option to feel socially included and most importantly, skip the almighty hangover the next day. Because let's be honest, the more precious your time becomes, the less you want to spend it hungover on a Sunday morning. I'm super proud to announce that we are partnering with Yes You Can Drinks, non-alcoholic cocktails who are literally taking the piss out of drinking. We've teamed up with them to offer our listeners a massive 20% off their range online. You can use the code SOBERVEGAN20, that's SOBERVEGAN20, at yesyoucandrinks.com. Now you can enjoy your favorite drinks without the alcohol. And now for today's podcast. Today, we are talking about all things bespoke events, boutique retreats, her sober journey, and what it's like raising children when vegan with Tanil Evans, who is a vegan chef, plant-based educator, author, and entrepreneur. All right. Hey, Tanil. So great to have you on the podcast.
Hello. Thanks so much for having me.
Great. Yeah, it's really good to connect. I was thinking back to the last time that we connected, which was very briefly. I'm not sure if you remember, but it was the Eating Plants release of the documentary at the Randwick Ritz, which
maybe
I don't know, 1 or 2 years ago now, probably with Funky Pies and everyone else was there too. That was a great event.
Yeah, it was great. That doco was awesome. I was on the Australian episode of that and we had a little Q&A with all the people that were on it, and it was great.
Yeah, definitely. And and anyone listening, that is a great doco to watch. It's Aussie based, but it goes around the world in terms of exploring veganism in different cultures. I think there's like an episode in like 5 or 10 different countries, which is pretty cool as well. I'm keen to dig into it today. Curious to hear about how you're doing on your sober and vegan journey, but also to learn a bit about your business and your work as an entrepreneur. You're an educator, you're a chef, and you're an author, which I recently learned as well, which sounds pretty awesome. So before we dive into any of that, let's hear a little about Tanil Evans. Who are you? How did you get here? What's your story?
So I am a chef and I have a vegan restaurant in the Blue Mountains called Secret Creek. A few years ago, we started catering vegan weddings. Well, actually, to be honest, we always catered weddings at Secret Creek. And we just sort of started getting asked to travel offsite and cater in other places. So my vegan catering business was born. It's just called Vegan Weddings and Events, which, because it's really good for Google, and people just type in vegan wedding and we come up. It's a bit of a niche thing. So not that, no one else really does what we do, because we're sort of a full service vegan. Specifically, we don't only do weddings, but we pretty much focus on weddings most of the time. So that's how I spend my days. I've got 3 kids as well. And like I said, I wrote a book during lockdown. That was really just because I
Amazing.
I wasn't very good at the time at not doing anything, and the
so you wrote a book.
Told me I wasn't allowed to work. I wasn't allowed to cook any food for anyone and feed anyone. So I wrote a cookbook, and it's called Love or Come Home, and it sort of has lots of little stories about love and connection and all of the things that kind of bring us together. But it's sort of, yeah, there's recipes in there, obviously, because that's why most people, that's what most people want from me is the food and the recipes. So, and yeah, like I said, I am sober. I'm vegan. I've been vegan for a little bit over 10 years now. Yeah, and I was vego for a little bit before that. And I've been completely sober for a couple of years. We're sort of like a bit before the start of the pandemic, actually. So I guess early, what is that? I wasn't really keeping track to start with, but I wish I did now because I would like to have had
you're
a
not like
timeline.
Me. You have the countdown app and, you know, it's on your homepage every day.
Well, I wish I had that now because it kind of just started because I was training for a CrossFit comp and I decided to be like super healthy. And then the pandemic happened. So I was like, I'll just take a break from drinking and just to train for this comp. And I'll, you know, like I'll sort of tighten up my nutrition and I'll be really healthy. And then the pandemic happened and the comp got canceled. And I sort of reflected and I was like, well, I actually feel amazing. And I had given up drinking a few times in the past. You know, I'm sort of an all or nothing person. So I definitely was a problematic drinker at times in the past. And, you know, after that sort of, I think it was probably like, I don't know, like 8 weeks, 8-10 weeks of not drinking. And then I reflected and I was like, I feel amazing. I'm just going to keep going with it. And so that was a couple of years ago since I've had a drink. And I guess over that time, I've sort of reflected on it and gone, you know, it didn't bring anything positive to my life whatsoever.
Yeah.
It certainly brought so many negative things to my life. I'm so much better at regulating my nervous system. I'm so much better at dealing with my work. Like, I think there was many times, like working in hospitality and events, like, it's just a huge thing, like drinking and it's just, you know, you use coffee to get up and then you have to go home and have one or six glasses of wine just to go to sleep. And it was just
you're just chasing, right? Harmful cycle.
I can relate.
I was just going to say that I worked in hospital for many years. I worked for Maryvale and, you know, you kind of, you're just stuck in this cycle, right? Like you're just like, oh, I'll just, you know, have a drink now because I knocked off work and then I'll have another one. And the next thing you know, it's like 1 a.m. and you're working in how many hours and it kind of just, it's so cultural, right? I think as well, like it's almost, I'm not sure if you felt the same, but you don't really think about it. Like you're kind of just in that environment and everyone's doing it. So you just kind of do it, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, you know, when you're working in hospitality, like your job is to like help everyone else have a good time and have a party. And our culture, you know, in Australia, but, you know, everywhere is food culture is so linked to drinking. Like, you know, going to, well, it has been in the past. I think things are changing now, but it was like you couldn't go out for a nice meal without also having wine with it. And it would be, you know, and so if your job is around that culture all the time, it's like it's very weird to not drink.
Questioned, right? It's like, oh,
yeah, absolutely.
So what are you doing if you're not drinking?
How can you be selling, like, you know, selling this experience and this food culture if you're not, you know, also participating in it or participating at least in the alcohol side of it? But yeah, so it was a bit of an accident, but I definitely, I love not drinking. Like I said, it brought literally nothing positive to my life, like, especially because the positive things, which were cultural and were about food, like I sort of, with non-alcoholic wines and like stuff where, you know, and I've sort of really delved a lot lately in the last couple of years into creating like a drink experience, you know, that is not, that doesn't have alcohol in it. So, you know, with my events, my degustation events that I do at Secret Craig, I'll quite often have like non-alcoholic pairings.
I think there's only one restaurant that I know of in Sydney that actually does that, and it's called Yellow and Potts Point. I'm not sure if you've probably heard of it, but yeah. That is, I must say, like the fact that you offer that as a service is just the coolest thing ever, that you could choose to just be present and in the moment and consume mindfully and still feel like you're having an experience that is like tasteful and kind of organized for you. I'm not sure if you kind of have seen the shift when you started offering that service and what that's like compared to what it was before as well.
Yeah, absolutely. I think like I've been to Yellow, I love it. And I went there for my birthday a couple of years ago, and we did have that was the first time I've been there since I wasn't drinking, and we did have non-alcoholic pairing with that, and it was so good. I think it's definitely more in demand as well. Like you just don't want to feel left out, like when you don't drink. And there's no need to feel left out. Like, you know, you can still be like, I don't know, I just like having to order a Coke or something instead of a fancy adult drink. Like, I'm not a child. I'd like to have a nice, tasty drink. I just don't want to get drunk anymore. Yeah. So
you have to do that early on, like in your sober journey. I know like some people, it's, I guess, people are on two sides where like some people really love the idea of non-alcs and embrace it. I was definitely that person, but I have friends who were and still now are perhaps maybe a bit triggered by it, or it took them a little while to like warm to the idea of consuming something that looks and sometimes smells and even tastes like alcohol, but isn't alcohol.
Yeah. I don't know if it has like something to do. I do love the non-alcoholic options. I only really use them for special occasions or for a nice dinner. Like it's not like I have to go home and have, because I feel like you're not only breaking that pattern of, you know, actually having the substance of alcohol, but the pattern of like going home, pouring yourself a glass of wine. And if you need that, you know, while you're kind of adjusting to not drinking, that's great, but it's something that doesn't carry through. Like, you know, I don't feel like that anymore. Maybe it's got something to do with being vegan for so long as well. Like, you're kind of used to feeling a little bit left out at social gatherings. So you're like,
even now, right?
You
go to venues, you're like, oh, okay, that's your one vegan option. Great.
Yes.
Do you have any?
I'll have chips and Coke then.
There's always hot chips, right?
Yeah.
Do you have any, I was just going to ask on the non-alcs front, do you have any like favorite wines or options that you're currently enjoying or you've got on the menu?
There's a brand that someone gave me for a Christmas present, which is, I think it's called Altina. Do you know that one?
Yeah.
Altina. Yeah. I really like that one. I've had a couple of like their sort of like sparklings, and I really like, there's a brand called Non, which is like very like kind
That's
of
yellow.
Well-considered flavors, like really.
Really out there. Right?
Like I just love that. Like I want something interesting. Like I don't want it to just taste exactly like. I don't go so much for the ones that taste as close to alcohol as possible. I do also really like sober beers. Like I was never a massive beer drinker.
Art pieces that they created with their drinks. Yeah, big fans of sober over here. SOBAH, sober.
I love like the cerveza style one. Like I was never a massive beer drinker, but I really like those. They're good too.
I think it's cool how they use like Bush Tucker and its connection to land. I think you speak a bit about this too, is that like idea of being connected to the land and kind of embracing that idea of ceremony and like where the food actually comes from. They do a really good job of that. But yeah, Altina, I think the sangria I had like a few weeks ago for the first time, which is really fun. And they create them in cans. I think they do bottles now too, right? So you kind of have that option, which is really nice. But yeah, I think an interesting point that you raised there is like, it's not necessarily like wine or beer. It doesn't have to be like a category. It's an alternative, which I know definitely took me a little while to get around is like, oh, I'm not like necessarily categorizing this as beer, wine or spirit. This is just something to enjoy that isn't a soft drink or water.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or a mocktail or whatever.
Yeah. And it's in its own right. It's delicious. Like it's, and I think that's what my sort of food, my approach is with food as well. Like I don't, I'm not, huge on kind of just making the vegan version of like a meat dish. Like that's not the, that's not what I do with my food. I sort of, you know, yes, I use like faux meats here and there, if, you know, and especially at home I do, and my kids, like, you know, of course they love chips and nuggets and I can get vegan versions of that. But when I'm cooking for, you know, like my wedding clients or for degustations or any of those sorts of events, I love to just, you know, create something that's like vegetables are delicious. Like you don't need to pretend that it's something else. You know, we want that connection. We want the connection to memory and to our experience of food. And so it's nice to have those things like, oh, you know, I love lasagna and I grew up eating that, so it's nice to have that, but it's not necessary all the time. And I think like really pushing the you know what, just, you know, things just need to taste good. Like it doesn't matter if it's made with you know, it's trying to be something else. Like vegetables taste, you know, taste good on their own. So yeah, that's my approach with food, I think, is it's not always about just like trying to make the vegan version of something.
Yeah.
It's just making good food full stop, you know?
Yeah. And so where do you, like, where would you find your inspiration for everything that you create and even curate for your retreats and weddings and your events?
So generally it's just what sort of produce is around, to start with. So I will, you know, like see what's good, what's in season, what I can forage as well. Because I do a lot of, foraging of edible plants and mushrooms. So depending on the season, like what's good, and then I'll just kind of like, you know, I don't know, think about not so much what the dish is, but more like its textures and its colors. And it's like kind of, I guess, combining things. Like I usually do that. I go, okay, so this is, you know, what do I need to add to bring a bit of texture to the dish as well? So it's kind of like, it's not so much the end result that I'm looking for. It's more like kind of building it in a sensory way, I suppose, like sort of flavor, color, texture, and then of course, like, you know, the whole experience of like eating it and touching it and smelling it and all of that. So it's like, it's a sensory thing, I think.
And you definitely see that through your feed. Like I just love your Instagram feed because like you can taste it, like you can see it, you can see that experience, like the tactile nature, like it all just comes together so beautifully in the imagery and even like some of the cakes, like, oh my gosh, when you posted that trifle, I think it was that I saw. Incredible. Like just, yeah, it really makes you realize like, wow, there's just so much beauty we can create with just wholesome plants and produce, and you can get so creative with it as well. And so what about like if we go back in time when you first like decided to, I think it was 2015, you decided, okay, the whole menu is going to be vegan. Like what was that like? Like how did that come about?
It was 2015. My restaurant, Seagull Creek, is actually, was my family's restaurant. So my dad, started it 18 years ago this year, and he is, he's a conservationist, wildlife guy. Like, so his whole passion is saving endangered wildlife, Australian wildlife. He built the restaurant back then as a way for people who, so he's got a wildlife sanctuary, that's what the restaurant is in, and he didn't want the wildlife sanctuary to ever be a place where it would just be sort of open for people to just come in and wander around. It was a safe space for the animals, and so he thought, if I have, you know, a nice restaurant here, people can come and kind of experience the animals in a bit of a low impact way, and it's sort of like, you know, they can come and support what we're doing here, see the animals, be involved, but not actually sort of just pay a, you know, pay money and go in and look, you know, like a zoo sort of thing.
Yeah.
So when the restaurant first opened, I was living in Sydney. I left home when I was 17 to go to uni, and I was working in hospo that whole time while I was studying. I actually studied design.
I haven't used it yet, but
yeah, I know, it's like, but it comes in handy so much.
It does.
Just like creating food, it's very
you have that eye for
design
it.
Process. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I was working in hospital that whole time, and I had my oldest son, Cash, and so he is 13 this year. And when I was, I sort of thought, I'm going to leave hospitality. I'm going to stay home with him. I'll just work on my, you know, my design label that I had at the time. And I had a studio at home. And my parents, they were like, well, they had decided that they couldn't really run the restaurant anymore. Or my dad, really. My mum was never, well, she was sort of, you know, involved a little bit, but it was my dad really. He wanted to get more into the sanctuary stuff, and he was really tied up in the restaurant, and they were going to close the restaurant. And they said to me first, would you like to come back and, you know, have a go at running the restaurant? I was vegetarian at the time. I wasn't vegan yet. And I came back, and I, at first, because it was my family's restaurant, there was no vegetarian options on the menu, by the way, when I came back. This is in a regional area. I came back and there was no veggie options. I first started by sort of going, okay, maybe we should have some, like, let's put a mushroom risotto on the menu. Yay, let's get excited about vegetarian things. Just so I could eat something, you know. And I sort of, the chefs that were there at the time, I sort of, like, you know, was trying to get them to make that connection about, like, you know, the, you know, we're saving wildlife here and we're serving animals inside. And yeah. Even though back then, you know, sort of, you know, when I first came back, the vegan movement hadn't really reached that really big sort of, you know, tipping point trajectory where it was just like, you know,
this is early days. Yeah.
This is, you know, a bit more early days.
We went in 2017. So I remember even in 2017, it was very much like you go to Coles and there's like tofu and tempeh and like that's your vegan options.
And that really gross soy cheese. And that was the only cheese, the soy cheese. And it was yucky. And it wasn't even vegan to start with, that cheese. But anyway, So yeah.
What was it?
It was vegetarian only. Like, it was soy cheese, but it had like,
come on,
something in it that, anyway, it was very silly. Early days, hardly any ice cream, all of these things, very dire situation for vegans then. And so I sort of started by introducing, you know, vegetarian options. It got to the point though, when, so I then was on my own sort of journey to veganism, and that started because I had my oldest son, like, as when he was really young, and I was breastfeeding him. I remember I was up one night, really late at night, feeding this hungry, hungry baby, looking at my phone, and I came across a video of a dairy cow being separated from her calf. And I'm just like bawling my eyes out at this, like, just that connection. Like, other animals feel that same connection to their babies that humans do. And I just, I started then to be, and I didn't know any vegans in real life. I had not met a vegan. I think like a couple of the yoga teachers that taught me, like, were probably vegan, but I didn't, you know, they weren't in my life. I didn't really have anyone to talk to about it. So it took me a little while to sort of, I gave up, you know, drink, having dairy milk in my coffees and stuff like that. And so I found myself in this situation where I'm running a conventional restaurant that's serving meat and dairy and all these things. And I'm on this vegan journey. And there was, you know, it probably turned out to be a couple of years there where I was so disconnected. I just felt so unaligned with what I was doing. And I remember sort of going, what do I do? Like, I just can't do this anymore. I'm just going to have to close. Like, I was pulled in one direction by this sort of familial obligation of trying to make this business work. And then the other side, like, it just really not aligning with my values. And I started to sort of see more people, like, we, you know, I'd see people come in and they weren't even veggie or vegan. And they'd be like, but wait a minute, aren't you trying to, you know, and there was that environmental connection. And yeah. I, you know, from a business point of view, I was like, I started to think, well, maybe this will work because of that environmental connection. And, you know, I was on this, you know, very deeply ethical journey, but I thought this could work because, you know, we're a wildlife sanctuary, people are happy to do that sort of meat-free Monday thing and, you know, cut down because they want to reduce their impact in the environment. So that's how I framed it. And I remember telling everyone, like my family and stuff, I'm like, okay, I think I've decided I want to make the restaurant completely vegan. Everyone said, you are very stupid. This is not going to work in Lithgow in this regional town. And I just couldn't do it anymore though. Like, I got to the point where I could not continue to live in such a, you know, unaligned way. I just, it wasn't working. So we did it sort of overnight. Like, we just went, okay, so I did a little menu launch and I invited lots of people that I knew to come and eat the food. And it was really amazing. Like, everyone loved it. And we started getting more people. Well, we always had people coming sort of through town, stopping in. But we just were so busy those first few years. And one of the things with, you know, we'd always done weddings because of where we are and in the wildlife sanctuary. But everyone said, well, you're not going to get any more weddings, at least. You know, like, people might come and have a burger that you're making, like a vegan burger, but no one's going to have a vegan wedding. Like, who would do that? Well, maybe vegans. But I didn't really think about that because I wasn't concerned with that. It got to the point where I was like, you know, I needed to align my life with my work. And it was sort of that one, yeah, thing that was, it was really hard. So I didn't really care that much about the wedding thing. And then I actually just started getting people inquire. And I remember early on, they were like, you know, I talked to this couple, and this is probably in sort of, 2016 at some point. This couple were like, I searched vegan wedding Sydney and you were the only thing that came up. Like, you're 2 hours from Sydney. Like, you know, we want to get married in Sydney and have a vegan wedding, but nobody's doing it. And I started getting people inquiring about, like, other locations. Like, we want a beach wedding or a garden wedding, you know, like, so can you come and cater in, you know, Glen Innes was the first one that I did, which was like 7 hours away. And at the time, it kind of helped that I was saying yes to everything. I've learned since then that I have a bit better boundaries around my work now, because that wasn't a good path to be on.
I can't even imagine the logistics of that and food and machinery and stuff.
Yeah. I did learn a lot in those, like, so that wedding in Glen Innes, that was my first one that I did away. And like I said, it was 7 hours. I was 7 months pregnant with my youngest son. So, and he's about to turn six. So that's how long ago it was. This was the first wedding I did away from Secret Creek. And I was like, yeah, sure, why not? I'll figure it out later. And thankfully, this client was actually somebody who I worked with at a restaurant in Sydney. Mm-hmm. So even though, of course, I was doing, you know, I'm very professional job, I sort of felt like, okay, well, this is kind of a friend. So I'm like, you know, it was a little bit safer. But it was 140 people at this farm in the middle of, it was like 40 minutes out of Glen Innes. It wasn't even in the town of Glen Innes. So, like, there was like a generator, there was like, you know, it was in a marquee on a farm. And I was like, had this big pregnant belly. It was hectic, but it was amazing. Everyone loved it. And it was, yeah. And I was like, I like doing this. This is cool. So that's how I started doing the wedding catering. And yeah, it turns out
people want
vegan weddings. Like it's a thing. And we do a lot of weddings even for people who aren't completely vegan, because there's not, like, vegetarian catering is crappy as well. Like,
oh, yeah.
You know, we have people who, like, one of the couple is vego, the other one isn't. So they go, well, let's just look into everything. They come and try our food and they say, actually, no one is going to notice. It tastes so good as long as it's good food and everyone feels full and satisfied and it's abundant and nourishing and, you know, and it does all those things. So nobody, so we've done weddings for people who aren't even vegan. So
that's amazing. Cool. That was actually I was going to ask you about that, is like, yeah, do you have mostly vegans or is it like, it seems like it's just growing. Like people are just curious. I mean, the movement in general, like let's look back how many years that is. It's almost 10 years and it's already grown so much. I mean, venues in Sydney still got a bit of a way to go, but wow, what an incredible story. That is so inspiring. And so what's next? Like what's next for vegan weddings and events?
So actually,
if you can share.
Yeah, no, well,
top secret.
No, I have some things. I'll just tell you because I like to tell everyone everything. So it's just a thing I do. I am planning a new venue and it doesn't have a home yet because it needs to be a really perfect home. And so it's sort of sitting there, like the whole concept, the vibe, like I just like have that image of the whole place and everything in my mind, but it needs a really specific home. And so the home hasn't come yet to me. So that's just sitting there and it's even got a name. It's called Nuda, which is named after my favorite wild mushroom, the Pista Nuda, which I actually have tattooed on my hand right here. So it's called Nuda and it's a obviously completely vegan restaurant coming soon to somewhere. We don't know. Also today my sous chef and I were talking about opening a bakery in Lithgow old fashioned. Yeah, I think this is gonna, because
need that. I feel like there definitely needs to be more vegan bakeries. There used to be one in Melbourne called Weirdos. I don't know if you ever went. And it's a bit like Oh My Days in Glebe, and it's got all the traditional, but it had like a bit of a twist, it had a bit of like a space cadet twist with like sprinkles and you know. Yeah. Frosting and all that sort of thing.
Amazing.
So I'm like more.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, we were talking about like in Lithgow, we had this old fashioned bakery that just closed and they had like, you know, like Neenish tarts and those like sponge cakes with like the, you know, with the faux cream and like, congratulations, Benjamin, like, you know, on the cakes, like you could get a slab cake. You know those ones? This old-fashioned bakery with the custard tarts and all this stuff, it just closed. There's no bakeries in Lithgow. And so we were talking about opening one that isn't, like, we don't tell anyone it's vegan. Like, it's just all completely vegan, but it's all old-fashioned stuff. But with donuts as well, obviously, and pies, like good, really good pies in a pie oven, Cornish pasties and, like, sausage rolls and stuff. So we might do that.
Delicious. I think you should absolutely do that.
And then what else? I'm writing a novel as well. That's just something I'm doing for fun. I do like to write for fun. So I'm writing a novel that I'm about 45,000 words in. So I'm over halfway pretty much. So that'll be
huge.
Cool.
There's so many exciting things coming. Oh my gosh, you made me hungry. Well, I feel like I'm a bit on the back foot because I haven't checked out your first book. So I'm going to check out the first book first. And then by the time I finish that, you'll finish.
They're completely unrelated. Like, it's like one's like my novel's like a weird fantasy, like urban fantasy kind of like, it's very weird. And the cookbook is practical. You should start with that anyway.
I'll add it to the list. We've got a massive bookshelf of vegan cookbooks Shannon Martinez, who else? Gazzo, which you probably know on there.
Yes. Yeah.
Incredible. Well, was there any, before we dive into our lightning round questions, as we always do, was there any last words or anything you wanted to share with the audience?
I don't know. I don't think so. I mean, I think, you know, bringing it back to like that connection between like veganism and being sober, like, I think they are really like, you know, interconnected. Like the reason why I'm vegan really is to cause the least amount of harm to, you know, the world around me and to myself. Like I'm part of the world, and the least amount of harm to the world and to my life and to, you know, and me existing in it is like a vegan and sober lifestyle. Like it's the least amount of harm. Nothing is perfect. Nobody is perfect. But for me, that is what the least harm looks like, you know?
Yeah, totally agree. And I must say, I think there's something about when you go vegan first, it does make the transition a little easier. It definitely made it a little easier for us because, like you said, you're used to the pushback or like being the odd one out when you when you're out. So you're just like, oh, I'm sober now too.
Yeah.
But it's
added to the list of things that's weird about me. You know, I'm already a weirdo.
People know now, right? Weird. They're like, oh, she's sober and she's vegan, so she needs help. So
Add it to the list.
And then I think there's that like journey that you go on when you, I think it kind of continues, like, you know, you're vegan and then you're, so it's one continual journey where it's that connection to self, connection to land, what you're putting in your body, what you're outputting. There's just something about that that's really interesting and also just creative. Like you have so much fun exploring different ways of living and eating and existing.
Yeah, absolutely. I think I was definitely more creative with food and everything when I sort of narrowed the parameters. Like I was, you know, way better. Like when I was vegetarian, like even just, you know, you think that there's less options, but I feel like when you've got that narrower focus, you can just like, yeah, my creativity definitely expanded when I narrowed it down, you know, so.
Yeah. Well, there's so many fruits and vegetables, right? There's just, and then you were talking about mushrooms. Like when we talk about mushrooms, how many mushroom types is there?
many, thousands. Many. Yeah.
All right. Well, let's jump into our lightning round. These are totally unrelated. Some are totally unrelated to sobriety or veganism. Just a bit of fun. Mm-hmm. Are you a texter or a caller?
Oh, text 100%. Like I would not answer the phone. No way. like I answer the phone to like three people.
And who are they? Mom, dad, kids?
Maybe there's a couple more. Like family, and my oldest son has a phone now too. So I'll answer his phone call. Yeah.
What is your guilty pleasure?
Guilty pleasure. Really bad TV. Like I try to not do it so often, but like I love like really bad like high school like American high school movies. Like teen and then, yeah, like cheese. Yeah. Oh, that's really
I thought you were gonna say Love Island for a second, because that's what we got into during the pandemic.
Okay. No, I actually not reality TV, but just like with the cringy, like exactly the same plot, like the same characters, yeah. Like
you know it's what's going to
so
happen.
Predictable. Yeah, so predictable. And also rewatching the ones I've already watched, like over and over, like, you know, just, yeah, that's it. Bad
TV. Any favorites?
And I know it's terrible.
What's like a favorite, like Breakfast Club or something like that?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Like Clueless? Yeah. Like I've watched Clueless like, I don't know, 25 times.
Still good. Yeah. What is one thing you want to learn or try in the next year?
I always cannot ever know enough about mushrooms and plants. Like I just like I'm so thirsty for more knowledge about mushrooms and plants. And then the more I know, the more I'm like that I know nothing. The more I learn, the more I just want to know more. So just like, and every like, you know, the mushroom season is so short. Like I've only got so much time to like get in, get out there and discover new mushrooms.
Yeah.
So yeah.
We love mushrooms.
More about that.
Yeah. We were mushroom picking when I was little and it was very enjoyable. So if you ever start doing mushroom picking sessions, invite us because I love it.
Yeah, I'm always out. Like literally if it's mushroom season and I'm not in the kitchen, I'm in the forest. So yeah.
Love it. Okay, this one is a fill in the blanks. Sobriety is?
Amazing. Elaborate on that. It's life-changing. It absolutely is life-changing. It's so nourishing and fulfilling, and it's not restrictive. It expands everything, expands the possibilities of what you can do. Yeah.
I love that. Expands the possibilities and just you keep growing, right? There's no limit when you're just clear-headed every day.
Absolutely. I know. And you can do, you know what else? We haven't mentioned this, but I love being able to leave whenever I want. Like just drive, like, oh no, I'll drive myself.
Yeah.
I'll meet you there when I want and then I'll leave. And I don't have to like go in a taxi to someone or like, you know, worry about waiting for an Uber.
Are we gonna like, what do you think? Are we gonna go somewhere else? Or like, that's a big one.
It's like, sneak out, get in my car. Bye, have fun.
Yeah. There's power to that. There's definitely power.
Yes.
All right. Second last one. What is a resource you could recommend to the audience and why?
Not related to.
Can be anything.
Veganism.
Yeah. Mm.
Okay. So a really great book by a friend of mine, Diego Benetto, who's a forager. He's got a book called Eat Weeds. He also runs foraging tours for edible plants. So mostly like, you know, he does do a little bit of mushroom stuff with some mushroom experts as well. But his kind of deal is like the edible greens that are just blowing like in the park and all over the place. Like people probably know him already. He's like really, really popular in his book. Really successful. It came out this past year. He's actually moved to my area recently, so we've done a few collaborative lunches where my guests go out and do a little tour with him, cool. And then come back and eat the food that I've made with all of the weeds.
Yeah.
So you know, and we call them weeds, but you know, like plants, they're all just you know, some of the things might be native, some of the things might not be native, but they just like there's so many abundant edible plants out there that people don't know about. So yeah, that Eat Weeds, and check out his Instagram as well. So he always shares lots of cool little videos and stuff on there.
Yeah, love that. And advice that you would give to your 17-year-old self.
Oh.
Fishing on a hard one.
Yeah. Well, like stick with things and finish them. Like I sort of was very like, you know, so desperate to kind of like experience everything that I didn't kind of like actually see things through to the end. I was sort of always looking for the next adventure when I was that age. And I think like actually sort of focusing in and finishing the couple of degrees I started would have been good. And stuff like that. I mean, eventually, you know, because finishing things is so satisfying. Like actually completing things and actually seeing something through to the end is really satisfying. And it's a skill that I didn't really work on until recently.
Because I could totally relate to it. It's like you always kind of have your half in to many things. I feel like I did the same thing.
Maybe
something about designers or creative people, you just want to be.
Do you think? Yeah. I think so. That's probably it.
Curious and excited that you don't want to miss out on learning something.
Yeah, exactly. It's like there is like, you know, there's more time than what you think. And also to make up your mind as well, like give yourself a little bit more space to just kind of not know. I think that's something I've only learned recently as well, that it's okay not to know things. It's okay to kind of, you know, just sit in the not knowing and sit in the curiosity. And I think that's a really important thing for young people to learn. It's easier said than done, though. Of course, when we're 17, we, you know, we're like, I know everything. There's nothing I do not know.
And what a great note that is to finish on in relation to sobriety and veganism is it's okay to not know and to not label and to not know how long it's going to last or, you know, not go all in on either sobriety or veganism or both. That's part of the process.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it is scary. Like people sort of see it as an end goal, like veganism as like, you know, oh, but if I become vegan, then I become that and that's my identity. Or if I become sober, then that's me. And it's really, they become really attached to that idea. And then, you know, it's once something's attached to you and it's part of your identity, then, you know, then what? Like, oh no, it's going to change me as a person. But you're right. You can leave it open. Like that openness, I think, is if more people were willing to be open with it and just to give it a go, like just give it a little try, like just you might surprise yourself and see the, like, instead of the restriction, the abundance, you know, like veganism isn't about, you know, not being able to have things. It's about actually, like, you know, celebrating the abundance of the earth with that kind of like love at the center of that. And that's the same as being sober as well. Like, you know, love yourself. Like you do it because you love yourself. You don't do it because you, like, you know, hate yourself and you want to punish yourself for being a bad person. And, you know, like
so much right when we drink, like there's one quote that I once posted, which was, your body is a garden, not a graveyard. Treat it so.
Yeah, absolutely. Those two things are, you know, that's related to both of those things, so to veganism and to being sober.
Incredible. Yeah. I'm so inspired. This has been an amazing chat. Was there anything that you wanted to share to round us off with listeners? Where can they connect with you? Any shout outs that you wanted to make?
You can find me. I'm most active on Instagram. Tennille Evans is my personal Instagram, where you'll get like a very kaleidoscopic view. Like, if you only want food, maybe that's not the best place to follow me. But I do have Secret Creek Cafe and Vegan Weddings and Events are my other pages that are sort of more niche-y and food related. But if you do want to hear about my upcoming novel and other exciting things, you can follow me, Tennille Evans, on Instagram.
Love it. And look out for the future bakery and restaurant.
Yes, that's right. Definitely.
Woo. All right. Well, we'll leave it there. Thank you for coming on.
Thank you. Nice to talk to you.